Well, it's 7:06, so why don't we start and Jim can join us when he comes in. So I'm going to ask Sarah, can you call the roll, please?
Absolutely. Chris.
Here.
Ron.
Here.
Dan.
Here.
Debbie. Jim, not here. Lydia.
Here.
And Russ.
Here. Okay, do we have any public comments? Anybody signed in for public comments, Sarah?
We do not.
Okay. Then the next, or did someone say something?
Sorry, I just got an email.
Oh, no, that's fine. Okay, no. Okay. Someone wanting to provide public comments by email?
No, it was actually Jim just looking for the the Zoom link.
Oh, okay, to join us. Okay. I thought someone trying to send a public comments at the last minute. Okay. please send them the link then. And the next item agenda would be for the approval of the minutes. So I would ask for a motion to approve in a second.
So moved.
Okay. So Dan moves. Do we have a second?
Oh, I second.
Oh, okay. Okay, Ron seconds. Okay, in terms of discussion, anybody have any comments or revisions to the minutes? If not, we can go ahead then and take a roll call vote.
All right. Chris?
Approve.
Ron?
Approve.
Dan?
Approve.
Debbie?
Oh, she's,
Sure if her audio is working.
yeah, it looks, I don't see her muted, but I do see,
Okay. Well, I'll just note
yeah.
out loud for the audio that Debbie.
Okay, well, she definitely hears us, so thumbs up means yes, so she approves it.
Right. Lydia?
Okay.
Approve. Yes.
Jim, we are doing a roll call vote for the minutes.
Approval of the minutes.
So I'm on you now. Did you have any
I approve
changes?
wholeheartedly of Ron Sherman's backdrop and of the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay.
You look fabulous, Ron.
So do you, buddy.
And rest.
Approve. Thank you. And Jim, you missed Ron. He had a different picture up before this one you see now. So,
I'm sure it'll change throughout the presentation tonight.
No.
he just wants to make sure we're all awake and the actives and to see if we notice. So, but okay, so the next item on the agenda would be committee member updates. Dementia Friendly River Forest Group. Lydia, if you can. Please update us on what's going on.
Yeah, so it's as far as I know, we're continuing to build out the site, and I say we because along with Helen Kwan, I co-convene that as a human, right, and as a gerontologist. And I actually put the Dementia Friendly River Forest website under my own private Weebly account, so I have full access to that. I didn't do it through Concordia. Which was probably smart now looking back. But it's my understanding that we have another student in gerontology at Concordia. They have another student who wants to do some more work for their practicum this coming semester. So Lisa, who's the director of operations at the Center for Gerontology, will continue on in her role to support the students mainly. So we'll just continue to build out that site, and it is about ready to go live. I mean, it's already live, but I think now that the holidays are over, we could actually put together a blurb that we could put out in Village Correspondence and have that be a resource that people can access dementia-friendly sources. So I'm happy to put together a blurb
Terrific.
and we're just keep moving forward. And then the next DFRF meeting will be Monday, January 25th. at 1:30 for anybody's welcome to attend. If anybody on the committee wants to pop in and just see what it's all about, we've been meeting via Zoom.
Okay.
You're welcome to do that. And I can add you to the invite reminder list when I send it out.
Lydia, are you still meeting like at 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. 1 o'clock. I think it might be 1:30.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember. It's around.
Okay.
But yeah, and I will, you know, yeah, anybody's welcome to attend.
Sure.
Lydia, I have a question. Is this costing you personal money?
But it's fine. I mean, I think it's $30 a year to host the site. So, I mean, if I can't contribute $30 to dementia-friendly efforts in our community, then I got other problems. But yeah, it's just part of, like, I have a Weebly account, and it was just easier than to try to jump through hoops of bureaucracy to get things approved to be able to change it. So it's
okay.
And that was, thank you, Ron. I was going to ask that same question. And then, so Lydia, whenever you do your write-up, what we can do is put it in the village newsletter to go out. I would also, and I'm looking at Sarah too, can we put it on the website and make a reference to the link to Lydia's website as part of the resources as well, if that works? Yeah. Or yeah. Lydia, unless you have a different preference.
Oh yeah, I think that'd be fine. I mean, I would imagine at some point, I think it would be really great that when you go to the village site, there is a tab for age friendly.
Okay.
Right, I mean, that's in theory where we're sure. All this is that we put the pressure on and we make these resources and this information available, and eventually DFRF would live under that as well.
Okay. And eventually we will get to that topic. I just want to be respectful since you did credit and putting that website together. I didn't want to like nab it take authority of it. So
however it can get the most
right
access at the easiest. Mm-hmm. And then also I can't remember where we were the last meeting we had, but the training materials are also built out. And so at some point we can do, I know businesses and organizations are struggling right now with COVID, but we are in a place where businesses and organizations can become dementia-friendly entities. And we have those logos that we can put on doors, similarly to the one that's on the village. When you walk in, you see the purple angel. Okay. Those materials are available too. And then when we're back in person, volunteers from the action team have agreed to go out to places of business who are interested in receiving the training to deliver in person. I think we're a little ways away from that, but we're poised when the time is right.
And those individuals, I think you refer to as ambassadors. Is that mm-hmm. okay? Just okay. No, that's fine. I like it actually. Does anybody have any other questions for Lydia? Well, thank you. The last meeting, Lydia, you gave a nice little update on the MMC. And I know you talked about the surveys, so I'm not going to belabor that. I will add though that, at the last meeting, at the tail end when I came in, you asked about, I think, Mim Evans and IU for the survey. I did follow up. She said she was going to check with her powers at be to see if they can she can get permission to release it. I didn't hear from her, so I followed up with another email, but then I also asked if I can have a copy of the survey. And since she's at NIU, I asked that she can consider my request as a FOIA. So then as a public entity, they should be giving us a copy of the survey. But so I try to be very nice about it. So hopefully she will get back to me on that issue. I just thought it was strange as a getting approval for authority. I mean, we're public entities, we have to release it. So,
universities, I feel like everybody's super cautious, you know.
Right.
As far as the MCC and the age-friendly virtual summit, it's my understanding that that's happening.
Good.
My role in that will obviously change dramatically. But there are ear monies that have been marked to the Center for Gerald that I think will still be released to do that work. And there's a student there who is a local community member who's actually joining the Oak Park River Forest Community Senior Services Committee, who will be working on the virtual age-friendly summit. And so that is still set to go.
Okay.
And you know, again, because I'm committed to this stuff, I will probably, if I can, see about being able to work through the MCC directly,
okay,
rather than through the center. But I do think it would be advantageous for all of us to support that.
Yes.
What's going on in the Chicagoland area and really throughout the state.
And Lydia, that's fine. I don't think there'll be a problem from the MMC for you to continue reaching out directly with them.
Yeah.
Knowing Kyle and Brian, I don't think it's going to be a problem. If you need something from me or the village, we can certainly support that, not to worry. I was going to ask you, I know at the last meeting, you made reference to you were going to try to investigate the cost analysis of us doing, the survey. The cost of doing the survey, whether that's a consultant, et cetera, and you were looking. And so obviously, I didn't know if you had an opportunity to do that. If not, if you can keep that on the radar, or one of us can help out too to try to follow up with that, so you're not stuck doing all. Yeah,
I haven't heard back from Miami of Ohio, okay. Sarah. You haven't heard from Suzanne either, right? Okay, so I mean, I can go down that road again and just try to see what the cost would be. Okay. But again, I mean, you know, the Center for Gerontology at Concordia, they may be in a position to do some of that. And so we could figure out what the charge would be. Or another, I would imagine NORC is super expensive.
Right.
At the University of Chicago, but I can look and see and try to get some bids from people.
Okay.
Organizations.
And you know, if you think Concordia can still do it with their program or students, we'd be happy to work with them.
Right.
So if that still works, that's fine. If not, the village will have to, I'll have to petition the village for the costs, et cetera, once we get that. But I know they're going to ask how much and all this other fun stuff.
And, you know, related to costs, and I don't know, I mean, we can think about this as a committee, but I do think we can be very strategic and mindful about how we propose to utilize the funds that the Sheridan is supposed to be contributing to older adult related activity, right? Okay. Right. I mean, it's my understanding that they've earmarked $10,000 a year.
Oh, yeah.
That goes, I think Carla is managing it. But I was saying, I was brainstorming with someone and I said, you know, why don't we use those as matching funds? We could matching funds and from 1 year when we're doing a grant, right? If we were to position or propose RRF to fund some of this work or something like that, we might be able to use some of those monies to garner additional grant monies.
Okay. And then I was also wondering, I think the MMC was supposed to look to see the have like an internship and you know, obviously there's some related costs. I know they asked us if we're interested. We told them we were. We don't have all the details on that, and so there might be some other person that we can help or that we can get to recruit to help us as we, you know, roll this out or roll some other work out as well besides the Concordia students, if that's the case. So so all that's still in the hopper, so to speak. So, okay. Let's see. Does anybody else have any questions of Lydia or what we're at now?
No.
Okay. Okay. We're going now into old business. I do want to say, as part of the old business, I want to thank all of you for the recommendation for the IGA on the handyman program. The board on Monday unanimously approved it. They accepted our recommendation without any issues, which doesn't always happen. So I'm glad to see that. So, and thank you all for doing that as well. So
Rez, I just want to say that was a really important thing. And Jim Flanagan's been involved in the handyman program.
Oh.
With the township for many, many, as long as I've known him.
Oh.
And it's a wonderful thing. And I am so glad that it passed unanimously. And that's a huge thing for our village to finally do. Okay. It's right up there with the snow shoveling thing.
Oh, my God. Well, then, Jim, I owe you an apology because I did not acknowledge you because I didn't know you were part of the background on that. So I'll make sure I do that
in
the future. Okay. Because, and to let you know, we already we approved it on Monday. We signed it. We sent it over to the Oak Park Township, Pam Mon, and she's going to now follow up, and she says she now has to go to the village board of Oak Park in February to get them to approve it. And then she anticipates that this will, the actual business of the IGA will start in March after the village of Oak Park approves it. So
perfect.
Okay. So at least our part, we're done. We moved it along. So we're just going to follow up with Pam in February just to make sure Oak Park approves it, and then get ready to start working on it in March. So thanks again on all that. Any questions on that? Okay, next step is the, we have a survey next steps, but it's also then related to the new business. So maybe I'm gonna flip it a little bit. So I know, first of all, I wanna thank Chris and Ron for taking the first step in trying to highlight what areas we should be looking at and setting some organization or priorities for that. I also want to thank Dan for providing us his memo and his thoughts on the housing. So what I thought right now is, Chris and Ron, do you have anything more you want to add in terms of how what your thoughts were and how you came up with these areas, or is it self-explicit? I want to give you an opportunity to talk about it, and then I'm going to let Dan talk as well after that. So,
actually, yes, I do. And I want to thank Dan for his response, because that's what we were hoping to trigger. We wanted to put something out that people could look at and respond to, and Dan did. And what I was trying to do, Chris and I were looking at, was how much can we survey for, and what is it that village government can affect? Dan pointed out a good point about housing. I accept that. I don't know if we want to take something else off the list or go with eight. I think it would be eight different items we want to survey for.
Okay.
But I thought his response was great. It doesn't take a lot of discussion at this point. We just wanted to try and tear it out.
Okay.
And I didn't mean T-E-A-R-S. Oh, stop it, Chris. So, no, we wanted to put out a format that we could use. So if we're going to do a survey, what are we going to ask for? Because we could ask for, probably 25 different items.
Okay.
Can I also add that the objectives that we're really looking at, that we're going for, is to, in these areas, identify upcoming needs as well as gaps, so that we can identify what the village can do to make River Forest a more age-friendly community. So,
okay, I thank you, and I just do have a question, and I'm jumping in here, but when you categorize them as government can address, they can possibly address, or they cannot address, and I guess I want to explore cannot address, for example, on social participation. Do you think that the village doesn't have, and I will not be insulted with however your response is, do you think the village can't do anything about it, or is it, I'm just curious to see what your thoughts were on the items where you said cannot address.
We weren't sure how we could ask a question.
Okay.
And how people could be drawn in.
Okay.
And that's it.
In cases like that, there are organizations that are much more connected, like religious groups and 19th Century Club and others that are so much more connected than the village would be.
Okay. And that's fair. That's fair. Because I do know that the townships already may have something that may be a little more direct relating to those issues. So, and that's fine, because I didn't want to, at least from the village standpoint, I don't want to overlap what somebody else has already done or doing effectively. I don't want to compete with them for that. I'd rather just say, okay, those issues that you take care of, and we'll look at these other issues that we have more control over, so lack of a better word. So I did, my reaction when I saw your list, I did think of housing as one of the things we can ask about. I do think that our survey should include questions regarding housing. So I was a little nervous when I saw your list, but then when I saw Dan's, I'm like, oh my God, Dan, calm down. Of course we're gonna do it. So I agree. I agree with that. I think that's something that, and again, this is something that I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we wanna know what our residents, seniors think about their needs on housing. If they all come back saying, which I don't anticipate that's gonna happen, but if they all come back saying, no, I don't need anything, at least we know, or I want this, or I need that. That's the type of information that I think is gonna be helpful to number one, this committee, and then eventually to the village, so that when we get to items or suggestions that Dan has raised in his response, we'll be able to know how to target or what we can do as a village to try to accommodate the needs that the residents want or need in that respect.
I think we're probably all fine with that. I'm glad Dan brought it up. Should we have a motion to add that to tier one and then move on with the survey?
You know what? Why don't we have a discussion about where they can be moved? I think maybe when we get to the point that we think we have, after discussion, we have a final list,
okay,
that's what we approve. But for now, I just want to have a free flow discussion of where things should be met, housing and transportation. I think we can, again, ask those questions. We're going to be quite limited on that issue as well. I did talk to Pam before, not even before this committee existed, about what we can do to that for transportation. And she did say that's going to be a little more challenging, because even the funding that she has, or grant funding or whatever funding she has, is limited to the areas of Oak Park. And so it's geographical, so to speak, as I understood it. Now, I think that's one of the challenges. I'm not sure if we're limited to that, but it's something that that I think that I'm not sure how much our village can do on transportation. But again, I'm not saying we don't look at it. If we feel, Dan, you're raising your hand.
I think that rather than transportation, what we really are talking about is mobility, which encompasses transportation.
Okay.
And I mean, I'll freely admit, I haven't read the entire Planning Advisory Service report on planning for aging communities, but that's a big chapter there. Mm-hmm. And they view it in terms of mobility. It's a combination of providing actual transportation, but also the ability to get around on foot and on bike.
Correct.
Encompasses concerns of public safety while walking by foot or on bike, and also traffic control. So it's something certainly the village can do something about.
Okay.
I was wondering, and Lydia or Jim might be the best people to explain this, in terms of dementia friendly, aside from, in addition to training police and fire department people, personnel to recognize and know how to handle people in emergencies when who might have dementia, what else does that actually encompass in practical terms?
Well, the dementia-friendly model is built on targeting, I think, 8 different sects or spheres or domains of your community. And so from not only first responders, police, you know, EMTs, what have you, people at the banks, financial institutions, at the grocery stores, at church, at faith-based communities, you know, any community element, housing. I mean, I feel like probably the Sheridan should be going through the dementia-friendly set of trainings, but it's everything from helping people make sure that they're using person-first language and respecting people's personhood and offering expressions of dignity, to making sure they understand signs. Like if, say, somebody comes into the bank and a teller is interacting with somebody, you know, what are some signs that you can look for that may indicate that there might be a cognitive thinking problem? And then what is your protocol? Also setting up a space, your physical storefront or your physical store space or your restaurant. I mean, it covers all kinds of those issues. Jim, do you want to add, am I leaving anything out? I think that pretty much.
Yeah, I think you pretty much explained it's, you know, it's more of a holistic approach. I think Dan made a good point when he started to talk about transportation being about mobility, and mobility, one of the elements of mobility being walkability. And so when I first read some of this stuff years ago, I'm like, well, how is River Forest ever going to do X, Y, or Z? And then I realized the best example I can give you of something that's happened kind of organically, but is a perfect example of improving transportation for the needs of older adults, is the traffic calming project that went down on Chicago Avenue. When you shorten up those streets, to make the path across the busy street different, you add the markings that they added. In many places, they added some benches for people to sit. And that is then, in essence, making a village more age-friendly from a mode of transportation. Mm-hmm. And that's done up, start at the federal level, where the village then was able to, you know, partner with them to take advantage of funds in order to do a project like that. And so when I started to think about it in that respect, then you start to think about, you know, village ordinances or, you know, larger ordinances that, you know, that make the ramps at different intersections, you know, the way that they're building them now, and having the markings and all of those things. So it's a lot more than a bus or providing some service. It doesn't look like that. It looks different. And I think if you start to think about it from that perspective, you can think about a much longer term, bigger picture idea. You know, one of the big challenges that we're going to have in River Forest is our side of North Avenue. And as that North Avenue corridor gets developed, how age friendly will it be? Or will you, if you're an older adult, feel like, you know, right now you step out of your car on North Avenue and you're taking your life into your hands. So
yeah, you're dead.
Trying to get a hot dog or a piece of pizza and you could die. So,
yeah,
my thoughts on that. I think, you know, we're heading in the right direction. But one question I guess I would throw out, and Dan might be the best to answer this, is when you look at these 8 domains or even the tiers of domains that Ron and Chris came up with, it seems to me like the amount of time that we have to conduct this survey is finite, very finite. You know, and maybe if we understood that we've got, you know, an opportunity to ask no more than 30 questions, 20 questions, 8, whatever the number is, Dan, help us understand about, you know, how many Likert charts or something like that we could use in a survey that people could actually accomplish in a 17-minute period before, you know, to get them to do it? Or are we, or should we think about the, what we want to know, and then know that maybe it's actually going to take two surveys, and maybe to the same group, maybe to a random group on top of the random group that we choose. I don't know that part of it. And so maybe if we looked at what we really wanted to accomplish, we'd find that there's no way we could actually do that. So we maybe need to focus on only a couple of areas right now, because we won't be able to really process more than that in the survey. Am I, Dan, what do you think about that?
Good question. You know, surveys, generally you got to keep it down to 40, 45 questions. And some of those are going to be demographic, which of course go at the end of the survey. I think, you know, I think you're right. We need to, you know, try to focus on what we want to, what questions we want to answer, and then design questions around what issues, what information we need to make recommendations to the village. So we really have to carefully craft the questions to extract that information in as efficient a manner as possible. And it's got, and particularly since we're going to be surveying older people, we have to really follow the rules for writing questions of a question, can only ask one thing at a time, and you ask it clearly. And you provide, and if it's multiple choice, you got to provide clear answers that people will understand, no jargon. So it's, I'm not going to pretend it's easy to make up the survey. If you want to see an example of a pretty good survey that was strictly on housing, the one we did for Naperville was really, in retrospect, a really good survey that got a 65% response rate, which is, you know, you want that response rate as high as possible, because that means it's more accurate. So you might want to take a look at that, keeping in mind what that purpose of that survey was, which was to determine housing needs in Naperville.
We also have identified a couple of other surveys, and I know, Lydia, you've connected to some of them. So I think we shouldn't start with a blank sheet of paper. I think we can start with some successful surveys and tailor them to what we want to find out for our community. And Dan, I think your survey might be a really interesting one to give us some fodder as well, but I would love to start with some of the ones that we've already identified that we're looking for age friendly.
Okay.
And if we started with now 8 topic areas that Chris and I identified as something the village can do something about, let's add a housing, obviously. Wouldn't that be a good place to start? Jim and I have been through many experiences where we've had to go house to house with flood victims. Mm-hmm. And we had to ask things like, can we come into your house? Do you have a furnace? Jim remembers going down to a basement with a pump to pump out the basement. And then we found out the person couldn't walk. So we didn't ask the right questions. So I think that, Dan, if we add your housing issue to the first 7 things we had in the first tier, and then take your Naperville survey and the other 5 that we've looked at, we can put together a pretty damn good survey.
Well, I think that, you know, it also would be, that would be a good starting point. Good surveys go through a lot of iterations. I'm pretty sure with the one we did for Naperville, we had maybe 6 versions before we were ready to test it. Then after we tested it on 20 the first time on 20 people, we made a number of changes, and then we did a second test, another 20 people, and we were ready to go.
And you were getting paid for that. We don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, we were getting paid for that.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of time.
Not paid enough, I'll tell you.
I don't have that kind of time to devote to this.
But you know,
so
it's going
like to move on.
Yeah, I mean, it's we got to get the questions right. That's key. And I think that, you know, it really helps if some people here have some insights regarding some of these subject areas, like the outdoor spaces and buildings, communication, information, public safety, et cetera. So you have some idea of what we are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key thing. I mean, we're in an interesting position where we've got, you know, some people that have worked on these issues and are pretty expert on gerontology, but we've got a, and maybe, you know, with your knowledge, you can give us some idea of what are we looking for, or maybe some people could each go through, maybe we could assign each person one of these five surveys to say, what were they looking for? Mm-hmm. And then we can take those questions from those surveys and fine tune them for River Forest for the things that we want to be looking for.
Okay.
Now, listen, we're at a disadvantage. Admittedly, we've got no budget. We don't have a professional staff that's experienced on this subject matter. We don't have a consultant experience on this subject matter, so we're on our own, and you know, we're going to have to do the best we can. But I think with this group, we can do very, very well. But it's going to take some work outside of the meetings.
Well, let me ask you this, and this is for the group. Besides picking out, and I almost like the idea, and I think we talked about it once, that maybe one or two of us break out at a topic and then try it. For example, if, you know, Dan, I'm assuming you're going to look at housing, and maybe somebody else can join with that and try to put some questions together for us, the rest of us, to react to. And if each one of us has a preference in terms of some of these other topics to pull out, and I know we haven't even finished this discussion in terms of which topics we're going to look at, but what I'm going to ask, though, is I understood that with a survey, if you're looking at a 20-minute maximum, then how are we going to, are we going to create 8 surveys, one for each domain type of thing? Or you know, because it sounds like, and I'm asking, I don't know, because if we're going to do a survey, are we thinking about 3 surveys, like with these 3 tiers, so to speak, as an example? I wasn't sure if that's what Chris and Ron were thinking, or are we going to break it out more into each, like 8 surveys?
No, we were thinking was 1 survey with tier 1.
Okay.
That the village could definitely address it. And, you know, with the addition of housing, Dan's point was very well put. So that gives us, I think, 8. I may be wrong, Sarah, you can count them, but
7.
7 or 8.
7. Okay.
That, you know, we could design what, 21 questions around, maybe?
Okay.
I you know, I've got a question, actually. With Dementia Friendly, what possible questions could we get out of it for a survey? I mean, this might be the dementia friendly part might be something that you don't have to survey. I mean, I don't know what you would possibly ask. Maybe someone has some ideas, but some of these really, and you know, not going to have the same number of questions for each area. But you know, dementia survey friendly's got me seriously wondering what does someone ask, based on what I know about it so far, that a survey would help this village determine policy or actions to take. It might, there might be things they can determine without doing a survey. What can we extract about dementia friendly in a survey? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I also think though, you know, I would urge that we consider including not transportation, but mobility as an area to be addressed.
We can change the topic areas to whatever we want.
Yeah, the question is, what can we get? You know, we got the topic areas, but what can a survey get us? And we've got to think carefully about that. Maybe if you want, Rez, just start going through the list and ask what could, or maybe we, for our next meeting, review some of these surveys and see what they are able to extract for each of these subject areas.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to start looking at surveys.
Right.
I think let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's see where we can start and go from there.
Okay. And that sounds good to me. I'm not sure if everybody else is comfortable with that. And so, okay. Okay, so we're going to start looking at surveys. Now, my next question is, do we look at surveys in general, or do we want to assign topics for example, housing? Who wants a volunteer looking surveys for housing? Who wants to look at volunteer looking at surveys for each of these domains? That's the question I'm asking.
I'll take public safety.
Okay.
Actually, if you think about it, the surveys that we've got examples of aren't on a single subject.
No.
Okay. So the questions
interweave.
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe the idea would be for us to have a certain set of surveys to look at, and each person or group of people look in particularly in depth at the questions related to the subject area across the multiple surveys.
Okay.
Okay. So which survey do I get?
I'm saying we'd all look at all the surveys and pull out the questions related to the particular subject area.
Okay.
Who has the surveys? Lydia, do you have?
Lydia, you're muted. I'm sorry.
We're all in Dropbox, Sarah, right? Everything, all of our documentation.
They should be. I'll take a look later tonight and just verify that we
And I know Dan in the last meeting he pulled out the PDF, he turned it into a Word doc of the Miami of Ohio mm-hmm. survey mm-hmm. Everything should be in our Dropbox as our collection of documents,
right?
And I think send that Dropbox link out again after right. the meeting.
Yeah,
and last at the last meeting you also pulled the Oxford I think study. Okay, so that should be
all in there. Yep.
Yeah, I know. And I know there's some housing ideas or what they looked at in terms of housing that might be helpful as well. So, okay, Debbie, you have your hand up.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. And again, I apologize if this should be more obvious. So when individuals are surveyed, is this how these areas pertain to them personally or how they see them pertaining to the entire village or the community?
It would vary by topic.
Okay.
So with how part of it was we want to determine the need for something.
Okay.
And part of it is, I imagine, determining from the surveys I remember looking at the perception.
Okay.
So it's going to vary.
So it could be how it would affect them and how it would affect the people around them. And then and this really sounds stupid, but I'm going to say it. How does emergency preparedness get, what is the interpretation for that?
So if your house floods.
Okay.
That's called emergency preparedness. How do you get ready for that?
Okay.
And Jim and I have pumped out hundreds of basements.
In the village?
Yes.
Wow.
And so think about it also in terms of financial preparedness.
Right. Okay.
There's all kinds of preparedness that affect us as we get older.
Right. Oh, believe me. I know. Yeah. Okay. Just kind of curious about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could have used you at our house in Evanston, where if someone spat, our basement would flood.
Deb, you have any other questions? I didn't want to.
No, that was it. I'm just reading this and trying to, interpret the.
I'll volunteer to take transportation and mobility.
Okay.
If Ron's got public safety and Dan's willing to do housing, I might be able to take on civic participation as well.
Okay.
What are we left with?
I'm happy to do social participation. And I mean, I respect and inclusion. Those feel similar to me.
Okay.
Okay.
And Ron, I know you suggested public safety, but you were also seemed to be a knowledgeable person on emergency preparedness. Would you want to take that one or?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And I guess taking Dan's suggestion, which I really like, is I'll look at those across all of the different surveys. And that's what, Jim, I think you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. We each have our domains. We study all the surveys for questions that
relate to that.
And we pull that together. And so we can then produce some, quote, pseudo sections of the survey.
Okay. And I'm also happy to do dementia friendly too, just given that, I see that in the other areas.
Should we be limiting ourselves just to what we put in tier one? Areas that
we're already bleeding over into tiers two and three.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Dan, it's like, how far do we want to go? How far can we go?
Yeah, I thought you wanted to, I assume we're going to be adding housing and maybe mobility to tier one, but do we want to bleed over into tier three because we're not thinking of including that in the survey?
Can I suggest this? And I'm only thinking about this right now in terms of why don't we break out and pick out the questions? Once we all come collectively with our questions, we may say housing has 10, mobility has another 10, and maybe that's one survey or tier of it. I'm just hypothetically, at least we have something to react to and the number of questions in our topic areas, domains that might help us rearrange the tiers when we prepare a survey. And we'll have a discussion about that. Okay. All right.
So we need somebody for communication and information and someone for outdoor spaces and buildings.
I'll take communication and information.
Okay.
I can do anything, but I don't know what's left.
I was going to
outdoor spaces and buildings.
Outdoor spaces.
Yeah. Deb, do you want to work with me on that?
Okay. That's a good idea. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Chris, which two do you have?
Deb and I will take outdoor spaces and buildings and communication and information.
Okay. Good idea. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Perfect. Good.
Okay, so then we have left is health services and community supports and then the elder abuse.
That should be, I think, safety.
Elder abuse?
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. Is that too much? I'm looking at Ron because he's.
We really thought it was because that's more of a police thing in my mind. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it was like, how can we survey about that? What kind of answers are we going to get that are truthful?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no experience in that field.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you cover that too?
No.
Okay.
Well, we're just going through the surveys.
Yeah.
If you see one on elder abuse.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. And then health, we all have one except for me, right? So I'm the lazy person here. Mm-hmm. I purposely went last. I figured I'll do whatever nobody wants to do. So I'll look at health services and community supports.
And also, could you look at demographics? Like, what kind of demographic information are they looking for? Are they
asking? Good point. Okay.
Good point. Good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll also be looking at demographics with the housing, because there are demographic questions you need to ask about housing, which include income.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So how do we want to submit what we find?
I always imagine putting it in an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Like survey, like questions, like theme, like the grouping, the theme of the question, and then which, what the question is and which survey it comes from.
Right.
Just as a way to sort and file.
Okay. Okay. Who's good at Excel? Yeah, not me.
Fumble around.
I'd like to suggest that maybe we might just want in this first round to just cut and paste the questions into Word files.
Okay.
And
where they came from.
I was going to say, yeah. So we definitely want to make sure we can cut and paste the question and then where it came from, or which survey and what page or question, et cetera. So we can easily tie it to that. So yeah,
and while we're doing this, we would be very prudent if we have not just the survey, but also the report. I think it might really help us also look at the report to see what they report about the answers to the questions, because it may turn out some of the questions, while they may seem really cool to us, maybe they really didn't yield any useful information.
Good point.
So that would give us some idea.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
I'm happy to put everything together in like one final document to share with the committee for, if this is something we're doing for our next meeting. If you can just get me things, I would say, well, depending on when we have the next meeting, the 10th, maybe by like the 3rd.
Okay.
It can, as long as you just identify which topic the question refers to, then should be able to put it all together for us.
So turn in our findings to you on December 3rd. Okay.
February.
Yeah. I want to go back in time, right? You're saying, right. Right. Thank you.
Rez, I don't know if you own the DeLorean.
Say that again, Ren.
Send me an email to remind me what I volunteered for.
Okay, I'll send that out again along with the Dropbox link.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Great.
Good. So are you going to be our next village administrator?
Not yet.
I'm thinking.
Perfect. A big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Right. And then, okay. Well, good. This is a good, great start. So we have our next meeting then on February the 10th. I just want to make sure are we all okay with that? It's the second Wednesday of the month. And then do we have any other new business you want to talk about?
No. I don't know if anybody else would be interested in this, but that morning, I believe there is a free webinar on developing an affordable housing action plan that might be very, for anyone who's interested in that, it might be very useful. It's from the same people that gave us that seminar about middle housing.
Oh yeah, I wasn't, I missed the last meeting, Dan, but I know I did, I played the minute, played the audio, and I know I joined the that seminar that you did, where it showed some individual homes, like these big homes that we have, and they, on the outside, it looks like one huge home, but on the inside, it's broken out by like maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 units. So it looks like one big house, and but it's broken down in smaller units, which I thought were fascinating. So I thought, oh, that gave me an idea too of what possibilities we may have here in River Forest if that comes around the corner. So, let's find out what the, you know, what the needs are and what people need. But I thought, oh, that's a good idea. Besides the typical thing I'm thinking about is these, you know, these developments where they all have to be new and they all have to be separate entities. I'm like, oh, but there's other ways to sort of accomplish that. So besides the ADUs and stuff, just again, I remember that for well, Dan, from that presentation. So I would like, can you send us the link on that webinar, Dan? Because that'd be good.
I think it's on YouTube. If it isn't on YouTube. Oh,
okay.
I think it's there now. If it isn't there, I think I recorded it. I can't remember.
Okay.
If I did record it, I'll put it on a special page on my website. Okay. And you can download it from there.
No problem, Dan. Thank you. And but is on the February the 10th, you said the morning, there's another webinar?
Yeah, it's on, I mean, this would be of particular interest to you and the Village Board. It's
right.
On developing an affordable housing action plan.
Okay. So if you can send that to me, send it to the group or anybody, that I'm fine with that, but you can send that to me for sure. I'd like to look at that or join that. Okay. Okay.
I move.
Okay.
End this evening. Yes.
I move to adjourn.
Thank you. I move to second. My wine glass.
Okay, no problem. And then Ron is seconding the motion. And then so we need a roll call, a vote.
All right, Chris.
Yes.
Ron.
Yes.
Dan.
Yes.
Debbie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Lydia?
Yes.
Emma? Yes.
All right.
Okay.
We are adjourned.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you all.
Thank you all.